Within half an hour of slicing into the local Imperial mainframe, Juno had exactly half an answer. The purpose of the Skyhook was to ferry Wookiee slaves from the surface of Kashyyyk into low orbit, from which point they would be taken elsewhere. Where they would be taken, however, was hidden by a deeper level of security than she could penetrate. Leaning back into her seat, she ran her fingers through her hair and stretched. Starkiller was busy on the ground. Coda was back in the hold. Proxy was still keeping himself amused. It had only just occurred to her that, for the moment, she was completely alone. Leaning forward again, her fingers began tapping at the keys. Certain Imperial records were duplicated all across the galaxy. They came with every invading force, updating local networks and keeping themselves up to date in turn by downloading new information from capital ships passing through. Thus, the administration of the Empire kept itself consistent across many thousands of inhabited worlds. For how else would distant governors know about new laws and appointments, or wanted criminals who might stray across their borders? Data from the Imperial Academy was part of that automatic download. Encrypted, of course. But Juno knew the keys by heart. Her files were no longer restricted. In fact, they came up immediately. She read the summary of her career as she would her own obituary. In one very real sense, it was exactly that. Spy, traitor, executed by Imperial command. There was no room for doubt. She could not go back. She didn't even recognize the life she was supposed to have had. Her record had been tampered with. All her major achievements were gone. The old Juno Eclipse no longer existed. The new Juno Eclipse was angry that she had been so easily reduced. Even in an official record she no longer cared about or believed. The rasp of Coda's throat made her jump and guiltily clear the screen before remembering that he was blind.
"I think the time has come to check on your friend. He's been quiet a little too long."
"You're right, and I'm sure he'd like to know what I've found out."
She outlined the news that Wookiee slaves were going to be ferried elsewhere for an unknown reason.
"Do you think your friend in the Senate knows anything about this?"
"I'm sure of it,"
Coda said. "Do you think that's why we're really here?"
"I think it's possible to fix two problems with one solution. I'll make the attempt anyway."
"I guess we'll see what we will see."
She began opening a comm channel, then realized what she had said.
"Oh, I'm sorry."
"No need to apologize," Coda said gruffly. "It's just a figure of speech."
All conversation between them died. From Starkiller's comlink came the sound of screaming metal. Juno's voice was barely audible over the grinding of machinery. She was trying to tell him something, and it sounded like it might be important. Whatever it was, it would have to wait. The foot of an AT-ST walker came down right next to him, making every tooth in his head shake. He didn't break stride. He had timed his run perfectly, dodging the concussion grenades and energy bolts fired by the gunner and approaching from underneath, where the plating was weakest. The apprentice took a deep breath and executed an acrobatic aerial somersault that brought his lightsaber into range of both knee joints, three control junctions, and the drive engine. The AT-ST shuddered mid-step as the damage he had inflicted registered in its complex systems. The endless pounding of its weapons faltered. The apprentice touched the ground and stopped dead. With a groan of tortured metal, the AT-ST managed a half-step, then dropped nose forward into the ground. Dust rose up from the blasted soil. Before it could settle, the apprentice was moving again, dodging a stream of blaster fire from a stormtrooper cannon emplacement to the right of the lodge's main steps. Two more AT-STs were closing on him from either side, hoping to hem him in. His smile hadn't faded an iota. The trooper's aim left a lot to be desired. Every projectile that came within reach, he deflected back at either its point of origin or the lodge's main door. But so many of them were missing completely that the rest discharged uselessly into the dirt. He ran toward the troopers, deliberately making himself an easier target. White helmets lifted in surprise, then came down in concentration.
One lucky shot, he imagined them thinking. Just one lucky shot. He would show that there was no such thing as luck. Not against him, anyway.